Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President CEO of The Wine Growers. We are here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
Yes.
And it's November.
It's November, and we're in the middle of the Old Vine Conference as we speak.
Literally. So tell me more. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Right. I'm a little worried you don't know more since you're moderating a panel late afternoon.
Is it late afternoon? Or
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's a good thing it's not this at this moment.
At 1 o'clock. Yeah.
There you Otherwise, go. We'd have to do it live
exactly,
remotely
or
from
something.
Here.
Take Jeff on the road with us.
That he looks thrilled with that idea.
Yeah. No, so we're super excited. California broadly is hosting the Old Vine Conference. They're doing it in partnership with Zap and. Last night was the opening dinner gala over in Napa at Copia. But super excited to this afternoon, as you know, because you're moderating it. We are hosting a panel in pouring wines that are produced from vineyards, from grapes that have been, you know, the definition of old vine, 35 plus years. Some of them date way older than that. But we thought it'd be fun. Typically, when you think of old vine, you think Zinfandel, typically reds. So we, as you know, are doing our seminar trying to feature a lot of different grapes and also representing different AVAs from around Sonoma County. So we are looking at pouring a Gunlock Bunchu, Gewurztraminer, a Hannah Columbard.
Yeah, I think they're the only ones that have a color.
Right?
Yep.
The San Giacomo Four Siblings Chardonnay, Saras Ranch, the Buchanan Merlot.
Fantastic.
Laurel Glen Vineyard, their estate Cabernet, and then the Sayini Apple Block Old Vine Zin.
Crazy.
I know. So I think that's going to be really fun. Brings in people literally from around the world that are about preserving these old vineyards. You know, I think at 25 plus years, a lot of vineyards start to lose some of their production, and some would argue maybe makes them an opportunity for replant. So it's really great when we can maintain and, you know, continue to have these old vineyards.
Yeah, highlight these stories and these survivors.
Exactly, the survivors. I like them. It should be the survivors seminar. Is that the new name? The survivors. These vineyards made it.
They made it somehow by hook and by crook and phylloxera survived. Phylloxera survived. Prohibition. Lots of changes in the wine world.
Recessions, all sorts of things.
Yeah, it's
so
a big deal.
A lot to celebrate with that. And then tomorrow night, we're hosting everyone for a dinner where we're going to have more growers and vintners involved. Again, showcasing more vineyards from around the county and some of our great wines. And then the conference sort of moves on from Napa, Sonoma, over to Lodi to close it out. So.
Another fantastic place for old vines.
Yeah.
So, yeah, California really does have a lot. So I'm excited about the whole program and all these people learning more and picking some good wines.
And getting to showcase it literally in our backyard.
Yep.
So what's not to love?
Oh, everything. Okay. So we will take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll introduce our guest for today's Good Stuff. Thank you for joining us on today's Good Stuff. We have in studio our guest today, Aaron Piotr, winemaker at Kivera. Sure hope I said that right.
You did.
Oh, right.
That was a lot of things to get pronounced right.
Well, I know.
A little bit. Aaron was kind of easy, so that worked.
That's the easy part.
That was the easy part.
My last name and the winery name are two quite challenging.
All right, so I got two. I got three out of three.
You got three out of three.
I'll take it. All right. So,
And honestly, we just have to give a big thanks. You're actually the first guest that's contributed to our gummy worm, you know, whatever.
Obsession.
With the Swedish fish, which are our favorite.
I know. Let other guests.
Just let that for the record.
Keep
that
in mind.
Yeah.
You know, like Aaron brought
He brought
fish.
Wine too and Swedish
fish.
So we got both. So
yes.
Just,
welcome back anytime.
Excellent.
All right. So we have. So, okay. There's so much about
now
your story.
Now we're loopy because he brought us sugar.
I know. The sugar's kicking in big time. But so much about your story that's interesting. I mean, one is you're from Sonoma, the town of Sonoma.
Yep.
And you had a little bit of a background. I mean, your family has a little bit of a background in wine, but I'm more interested in like the history. You've got a plaque somewhere near General Vallejo's home in your family's honor. Tell me that.
Oh, actually, the house that I was born and raised in is about a block and a half from General Vallejo's home. So butts right up against the property there. And yeah, my parents were Alcaldes in the, I want to say late 80s. And when you're the Alcalde, you're the volunteers of the year, essentially, for the town of Sonoma. So you get a key to the city, which is prominently on our family room wall. And yeah, my parents have a tremendous background in philanthropic activities in Sonoma, and they still live there to this day.
And so your dad had vineyard. He did some stuff in vineyards, or tell me.
Oh, I threw you for a little loop there with distribution and vineyard management. So
this is why I'm stumbling.
Tried to throw you for a wild loop, exactly. So my dad was indeed in distribution. As a retired Lutheran minister, every Sunday he would distribute communion to the congregation at Faith Lutheran Church. There's the wine distribution angle.
Nice.
Yes.
Wow.
And then the vineyard management part, actually in retirement, he and some friends, they actually take care of the vineyard that's in front of General Vallejo's home. So one of the oldest vineyards. It's a tiny little vineyard, about 40 vines by 40 vines right out front. But he is on the team of volunteers that takes care of that and the olive trees and just the general property there. So he's vineyard managing right now in retirement.
Okay. I'm really questioning all the things in your bio now.
I know, we're starting over.
I should not take them literally. But we were just talking about old vines. How old are the vines of General Vallejo's home? Like, are these centuries old?
Most of them would have been had they survived, and there was a big replant project in the 60s. So there's actually a little map that kind of documents what's what, with unfortunately a lot of question marks on there. But it's a mix of Cabernet, you can see Carignan, Zinfandel. But there's been a history of replanting, and that continues to this day, where we're trying to go back to mostly Zinfandel. But it's a hodgepodge of things. Originally, it would have been from way back in the day. But it appears that the majority of the replanting was done in the 60s.
And so where do the grapes go? Do you make them into wine? Does somebody make them into
wine? I do not. So right now, I've been assisting this team in sort of... This volunteer team in revitalizing the health of the vineyard and getting, helping out with timing of pruning and, trying to... So what we end up doing is growing fruit that the squirrels enjoy more and more every year.
Darn squirrels.
So, it's gone from about a 15-gallon-a-year home winemaking project for the volunteer team to about a 10-gallon-a-year project, and now it's gone to squirrel food the last couple of years. So there's quite the rodent problem over there. But the good news is the vineyard looks healthy and fabulous, and it's a lot of fun for them. It makes the aesthetics of the General Vallejo's home gives it that authenticity.
What's your squirrel nemesis?
Kevin.
Fairsney has a squirrel nemesis that's on her property.
I do.
I wanted to say Fred for some reason. That's not right. Kevin.
His name's Kevin, and he has destroyed two windshields, throwing pine cones down from a great distance. And I'm just worried he's going to try to kill me one day, because if one of these lands on me, I will be dead.
That is terrifying.
But two windshields.
Yeah, yep. We don't like Kevin.
No, we don't like Kevin.
And now
at
we
all.
Hear there's a whole squirrel conspiracy happening, taking all of this wonderful grapes that should be made into wine.
And it's a state park, so you're not out there trapping or doing anything aggressive. It's obviously a very
We should leave out the lunch bag gummies for the squirrels.
It sounds like it's their park.
Yes.
The squirrel state park,
absolutely.
Right there.
I will not be visiting anytime soon. too triggering. All right, so. Is this vineyard? Is it the communion that got you interested in wine? Is it the vineyard
on Sundays was just not enough. So
right, he's like, I could only make better wine for communion.
Yeah, it was like Frangelica or something from Sebastiani Vineyards back in the day. I suppose the only thing I can qualify as I've been tasting wine then, in a sense, since I took communion and for a very, very long time. But no, being born and raised in the town of Sonoma. Your prominent families, your industry that obviously drives the area. It is a part of your life growing up in the town of Sonoma. My dad would do the blessing of the grapes at the vintage festival all the time. And so,
which just celebrated its 200th anniversary, in September, which is very cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. So just being born around it, I always knew of it, throughout high school. And again, I playing Little League with San Giacomo's and all the prominent
those people.
great farmers, great athletes, on top of it all.
Great people,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Just a wonderful, you know, those families that are so prominent in Sonoma, mm-hmm. and then my parents being really active in the community with volunteerism. You get to meet them all, interact mm-hmm. with them all under the best circumstances.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
between sports and charity, how do you not love the wine families of Sonoma?
Yeah, totally. Like except that. You also mentioned in your bio, which again, I'm questioning, that your mom was a high school principal. So did she, was she the principal of some of these fine young men?
No, she was not. As a matter of fact, she commuted down to Tam High.
Oh.
To Tamalpais High School down in Mill Valley.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, so
that
no.
Probably that kept things cleaner for you.
Yeah, like, once my sister and I got into high school and got a little older, then she went back to work, worked for the Marin School District, and then eventually took a few little stints down at Tam High.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Okay, that's good. Because I think having a high your mom being the high school principal in your own town would be rough.
So a crazy, crazy sidebar story.
I feel like we've only had sidebars so far.
Yeah, that's how this is going to go. Our high school principal when I was at Sonoma Valley High School was a gentleman named Ralph Hahn. His son, Aaron Henry Hahn, was born the same exact day as me. There's the Aaron connection.
Okay.
In the town of Healdsburg was Mr. Bagarski, who was their principal. His son, same grade, Aaron Bagarski. We're all born within like 24 hours of each other and all named after Henry Aaron. Because we were born on the day that he broke Babe Ruth's home run record.
No way.
Isn't that crazy?
Gosh,
in
that
Sonoma,
is crazy.
In just Sonoma County alone.
Stop it.
Two high school principals, three sons named Aaron. Yeah.
And nobody, absolutely crazy. Nobody got Henry. Like, what? You know.
Aaron got it as a middle name. In our family, the son gets the dad's name as the middle name. So that's how that
right.
works. So no Henry in my name. But, yep.
I like that story.
I know.
Okay.
Didn't know.
Okay.
I think we should get them all the Aarons on for a show.
Exactly. That would
separated
be fun.
Separated by birth.
Yeah.
Maybe there's more to the story.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, we have questions.
We have a lot of questions.
We
so.
Always do. Okay. But I'm trying to get to the wine side for you.
Yes.
You describe yourself as a boy in the bubble growing
yes.
up.
And there were a lot of songs that you did not recommend that we wanted to play. As the boy in the bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul Simon, I think, has a boy in the bubble song.
Exactly,
that we were going to do the Seinfeld theme.
Theme.
Oh, got it. There you go.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But tell us about that, because it does have a connection, at least I think it does, to your winemaking career.
Oh, a very strong one. Yeah. So I don't know. The curse, the blessing of growing up being allergic to almost everything. So, you know, I was that kid that brought his own daiquiri ice to every birthday party instead of having birthday cake and cupcakes and all that. So, yeah, I was allergic to so many things. Milk, eggs, nuts, you name it. And
But
when that's in almost everything.
But not sweetest fish.
No, thankfully.
I'm like, thank God. We don't know what's in it, but you can eat it.
Yes.
It is safe. I'll tell you it is safe.
It's important that Swedish fish exists for this reason.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so growing up that way, I mean, obviously I was kind of a pain to have around as, you know, at birthday parties and eating at friends' houses. They were always walking on eggshells. And this is way pre-allergen days.
When,
right now, it's basically if I... Other than Swedish fish, I mean, everything's got an allergen statement on it saying basically stay away. And so I'd starve. And then, of course, being in Sonoma County where all the fancy restaurants just utilize little bits of this and that, it's a cautious tale. But growing up, being allergic to so many things, my sensory perception has just always been on guard. And it's usually smelling to detect it primarily. And then if I taste it, it's usually too late. So, you know, we're kind of hospital bound or EpiPen bound.
Wow.
So for me, there's always a defensive sort of mechanism there that heightened my sensory perception and all that. And then that roundabout ties into wine. And it also ties in my sister's career. She's the head of RD and works for UCLA Med Center.
Oh, wow.
And she's doing a lot of research on food and...
Does she also have the same allergies?
She does not. Lucky bugger. She does not. No, she can eat anything
she
wants.
So she can go do the research
wants.
On it
it's
and
so
be
random.
Around it. And,
exactly. Yeah. But having grown up under those circumstances, I think she understands the magnitude of food sensitivity and allergies and all that. So, yeah. The other great thing that came out of that, and here's how to tie it back together, is my parents are both great cooks. Absolutely phenomenal cooks because it was a risk going out. And so we cooked at home. My parents are phenomenal cooks. And also we had wine at the table. We had wine frequently. And so that was a real good intro as well to the cultural food and wine aspect.
Mm-hmm. So I was allergic to chocolate as a kid. And my parents tried to tell me the carob crop that you get was as good as what they were enjoying what my brother got to have. And I was like, as I outgrew the allergy and actually got real chocolate, it was like, you lied to me. What else were you lying to me about? Now I do not trust any of you.
My mom went through a carob phase too, and I was not allergic. And I was like, this is disgusting.
Yeah, I was like, we get to go to the grocery store to get my brother's chocolate. We have to go to the new the health store to get mine. I'm like, that's all you need to know.
Where it smells like wheat germ. Yeah, that's all you need to know. So the carob always smelled like wheat germ.
The only thing to this date that still kind of haunts me is everybody's immediate sentiments of, oh, you'll never know what Reese's peanut butter cups taste like. So that is the one that gets everybody saying.
Like sad.
Poor guy. Poor guy.
What used to taste like. I will say what used to taste like, because I don't think they're the same anymore. Oh, they're not as good.
And fun fact, I can eat Butterfingers. So there's a scary story for you. That's, exactly.
How did you find out?
As I went through puberty and started to outgrow some of the allergies, I'm still quite allergic to this day to nuts. And there are several things that are almost more severe. But as I started to outgrow things, of course, the cheating kicks in, of which chocolate is first. Yeah. And then it's a natural progression into things that might have other things in them. And lo and behold, guess how much actual peanut is in Butterfinger? So
There you go. Yeah. That. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Do they still make Butterfingers?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I like Butterfingers.
We have connoisseurs here.
There's some that
they're very good. Yeah, they're very good.
I still have some left over from Halloween.
So at what point does it sort of kick in that maybe wine could be a career for you?
I went to UC Davis pre-med, and I was on the swim team there. So I knew I wanted to go to Davis and have the sort of, it was always in the back of my mind whether I would minor or whether I would just plain do it. Again, knowing Bunchu's, Sebastiani's, all these families and how great that industry was, it was always in the back of my mind as, I can do this as a career. I would love it to see the outdoorsy aspect of it and just how involved these folks were in agriculture and the town and outdoors. So I went to Davis with that in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
And then it didn't take long going the pre-med route with engineering calculus and all that. I was like, how fast can I divert to the wine program? So
this is not fun.
Then I did a few internships in Davis, ZD Wines being a prominent one. The Deleuze family in Napa was the family aspect where I was like, if this is not only as fun as I think it is and is active, and the family aspect is this charming and wonderful, I'm in. And also did a stint at Sebastiani Cellars in downtown Sonoma that really was formative. That kind of paved the way for knowing that this is what I wanted to pursue. Right.
ZD had a medical connection too, didn't they? I thought that they at some point were raising money for some sort of health cause, but maybe I digress too much. All right, so you get some experience. You're at Davis. And so when you graduate from Davis, before or after the Sebastiani experience?
So Sebastiani, that harvest that I worked there was 1994. That was absolutely fantastic. And I was working at a restaurant on the plaza in Sonoma on the lunch shift, and then riding on my bicycle down the bike path to the winery and doing the swing shift. So to see it from service and the tourism aspect of it during the day and then production at night was fabulous. And then I'd bike home at midnight, clock out at midnight, bike home and do it all over again. That was the best experience ever of seeing it truly from production all the way to serving and enjoyment at the restaurant. Incredible. And then ZD Wines was 95 the following year. And then I worked for Vianza, took a job with them as a sort of enologist, if you will, before I even graduated. Yeah.
Okay, we are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Aaron Piotr. On the good stuff with our guest Aaron Piotr, winemaker at Kivera. So last we left, you were at Vianza.
Yes.
Learning from Mr. Sebastiani himself, who was mentoring his son. Then what happened?
So I spent a wonderful three vintages at Vianza. And at that point, such a great site and business model, no retail presence, right? Just taking in busload after busload after busload of people. It was just amazing. And, you know, I was lucky enough to make Italian varieties from all over the state. So really a lot of travel and exposure to different varieties. And then upon one of our sort of Cabernet journeys to Alexander Valley, I met at an event a winemaker who was a fellow cyclist. And so we started chatting about bicycling and all that good stuff. And next thing you know, he said, we have an exciting growth opportunity. It's a relatively older winery in Napa, but there's a big acquisition coming. So I worked for a gentleman named Larry Levine, who is a wonderful, wonderful gentleman in the Dry Creek Valley. He was a longtime winemaker at Dry Creek Valley before going to Franciscan. That's where he was.
Okay.
So he was the first employee hired under Constellation, a wild new company called Constellation Brands.
Yeah.
And then I was the second. So I jumped over there. And at the time, what an amazing opportunity to make the Franciscan wines, also Mount Veeder. And then we had Estancia, which had some Alexander Valley presence, and then a little label called Quintessa that was also made there.
Wow.
So that was a fabulous opportunity for me, too good to pass up. So I jumped over to the Napa Valley, which made the bike commute very exciting to do with a couple friends up and over Trinity and down the Oakville grade.
Wow.
And
Trinity.
Or through Carneros, the long way. But yeah, it was absolutely fabulous.
I don't even
fabulous.
Like driving over that road.
No, I don't either.
I know.
that's risky.
I had a good friend who worked at the Veterans Home in Yountville and another one who was a school teacher down in Browns Valley. So the three of us would bike and fabulous experience. But yeah, that took me to Napa, which then led me to the introduction of the sort of consultants at the time of Napa. So for the Quintessa project, Augustin Huneus brought over Michel Roland, at that point, the jet-setting, you know, world-famous consultant. And then a few years of Michel Roland, and they also brought in a young French whippersnapper named Philippe Melka, who now is, you know, probably sits at the top of the consultants. And Philippe was a marvelous individual to work with. And I think, you know, Larry Levine had quite a few projects, and under the Constellation umbrella, there was so much for him to do. He said, you know, if you can kind of help Philippe and babysit some of this Quintessa wines and help him out with this project, that would be great. So I got to know Philippe quite well, worked with him, and then lo and behold, Quintessa opens up their winery. They construct that over on the Silverado Trail. And Philippe says, you're a Sonoma kid. I've got a Sonoma Valley project for you, or a Sonoma County project, rather. And it was Ferrari Carano. So Don Carano was in the process of constructing a red winery, a red-specific production winery, above what's now kind of the River Rock Casino and that whole area up there in Alexander Valley. And he said, we're kind of at blueprints phase, but why don't you come up and meet our director of vineyard operations, Steve Domenichelli, and I'll show you around the winery. And Philippe's going to consult for us. So I then moved over and became winemaker at Ferrari Carano up there, which was the opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah.
Moved the family over to the, a little further north, and was there for a good long stint and just absolutely enjoyed that world of working with a consultant, working hand in hand with the vineyards at Kivera. The big sort of bring it all back together now is that our vineyard manager, our general manager now at Kivera, is Steve Domenichelli. And
no
so it is a pleasure to be working back with him and teaming up with him again. And so really that was the place, you know, as you're ascending the ranks of enologist, assistant winemaker, associate winemaker, vineyard exposure is limited. You're hopeful you get out there, and working with Steve, it was not a limited opportunity. It was a prerequisite. We are going to talk about these vineyards. You will spend time out here, and we are going to do this together from pruning all the way through to harvest decisions. We're doing this together. So that was great, wonderful. And then it's just absolutely a pleasure to be back with Steve right now at Kivera, and to land at a true estate that is organic. There's nothing better. I feel like couldn't be in a better place.
Yeah. So how long have you, when did you make that shift?
So I've actually only been consulting for them since January.
Oh, there you go.
So I'm,
I'm as new
as this harvest shirt. Yeah, exactly. So, just did some consulting, assembled some wines for bottle, you know, using the 23s and the 24s, getting to know the inventory, getting to know the estate, and then really just decided that this was where I wanted to be from a mean, my bike commute is West Dry Creek Road. Yeah. I think other than maybe than the top of Lawndale, there's no prettier road That's in beautiful. All of Sonoma County. Huh. And I get to ride it every day to and from work.
Wow, so. Lawndale.
I know. Hmm. I would, yeah. You've probably ridden by my house.
Lawndale is.
Yeah, it's where she
lives. Well, I don't want to say that out loud. I live on Lawndale.
Do you want me to provide the address?
No.
Nope.
There's nothing better than cresting that summit where there's vineyards on both sides and you get the view into Sonoma Valley. That is, but I would say my daily ride is no slouch. You know, I get to see vineyards grow and evolve and what inputs there are and just how the harvest season is going. And, you know, I think it'd be one thing to drive to your winery and see your own vineyards every day and track that. But to be able to see countless vineyards from the time I leave Windsor to the time I get to Healdsburg, it's just this evolution of this is happening here. I'm noticing this here. It's a great perspective.
Yeah. Give us a little bit of the, you know, Quivira has been around quite a while and give us a little sense of its history.
Yeah, so since 1981, the Wendt family started it. They've always had a background in organic farming and biodynamic practices. And then Pete and Terry Kite are the current owners. They purchased it way back in 2006. They also own Escarpment, which is a winery in New Zealand, and Torbrek, which is a very well-known winery in Australia. And they are huge proponents of organic farming, taking care of the land, and you couldn't purchase a more sensitive parcel of land if you wanted to. In the middle of Dry Creek Valley, we have Wine Creek turning into Grape Creek, literally bisecting the property and heading right into Dry Creek itself.
Yeah.
So everything we put on the ground, everything we even think of putting on the vine or every tractor move that we drive ends up in Dry Creek, which then heads down and just makes its way into the Russian River and watersheds everywhere. So for us, this mantra of cleaner, healthier soil, and ultimately cleaner water. By being organic and farming the way we do, we are literally a benefit to the Dry Creek Valley. Mm-hmm. We are helping not only Mother Nature, but our neighbors upstream, downstream. Mm-hmm. It just feels really, really good to be doing the right thing in the vineyard.
And it feels like Quivira is, you know, one of the early brands associated with Sauvignon Blanc as well. Fig Tree is one of the vineyards that I think brought it to prominence first. Can you give us, like, tell us a little bit more about that. How did they start? You know, what were some of the wines that really, you know, made Quivira what it is?
Yeah, I would have to point, the Larry Levine connection now comes back in, because I'd have to point to David Stair, right? The Stair family. I believe you had Tim Bell on not all that long ago. Yeah. So you get this sort of origin story in the 70s, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think David planted Sauvignon Blanc against
everyone's recommendations.
Yeah, against recommendations and found out there was something pretty dynamic there. We do have that same soil profile there literally across the bridge right there, across Lambert Bridge. So the sites that we have it make tons of sense, and it's been a long time of proof of concept of really brilliant fruit. It is a cooler kind of pocket of Dry Creek as it swings around that sort of western ridge side by Lambert Bridge Winery, and then you pop out to Raffinelli and ourselves. It's definitely cooler there. The soil is perfect for Sauvignon Blanc, so I think it's just the right place, the right introduction at the time. And we make Fig Tree, which has a 150-year-old fig tree, like smack dab in the middle of the block.
So beautiful.
And that's kind of our tribute to Sauvignon Blanc. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Okay.
Always amazing. Been one of my favorites. Yeah.
We have to take another quick break. We'll be right back on with Aaron Piotr. Winemaker at Quivira, and so we were talking about that beautiful fig tree that is such a signature of the property. But tell us a little bit more about kind of the wines that are in the portfolio. What sort of, because it's a wide range.
Yeah, our estate is 110 acres, of which just about 70 is planted, and we have quite a bit of Sauvignon Blanc down in the flats. We have Zinfandel, Petit Syrah on the hills, and then kind of in between those gentle slopes in between, we have, we're big on the Rhone varieties, so we've got Grenache and Mourvèdre and Petit Syrah. Super fun. We even got some Alicante tucked in a corner, some really old stuff. So, yeah, we produce a GSM. We've got a little Syrah on the property as well. For those who don't know, in acronym world, that's Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre. And then we have our rosé is very typical to the south of France. It's comprised of those varieties as well. We make a standalone Petite, a standalone Grenache. And then for Sauvignon Blanc, we have our fig tree, which we mentioned before, that ages in acacia puncheons. Feels like I'm speaking a foreign language. That's what we kind of do when we describe wine production. But essentially a double barrel made of acacia wood, French acacia wood. And it doesn't really oak the wine or give it, you know, overt oak character. It just really gives it nice texture and some wonderful roundness. It's more of a textural thing. And then we have our Sonoma County Appellated, which will be transitioning to Dry Creek Estate Appellated we sort of focus and focus more on the estate. Sauvignon Blanc and Zinfandel.
Okay, cool.
And those are the ones you'll be predominantly able to find, you know, in your stores and at restaurants and that sort of thing. And then our flagship Zinfandel is Black Boar. Mm-hmm. And so we have a fun little, our boar is kind of our mascot. If you come out and visit now, you're more than welcome to go say hi to Winston. So Winston's our young little pig who I say young little, he's young, but he's not little anymore. It grows like 10 pounds a day. But,
Winston.
Yeah, so people that come visit, we've got our gardens. We have over 100 raised beds of gardens, all beneficial plants, all sort of companion plants for our vines to really promote biodiversity. And boy, we've got extensive gardens and we got the chickens and we got Winston and we got a worm farm and all sorts of stuff. Yeah, we got it going on and we love to share it.
Seriously.
Do you, I think, was there sort of an olive oil and a honey connection at some point too? Were Kiviria producing those products?
There was. Olives now will be harvested to contribute to produce some olive oil, but we have very little in the tasting room. It's definitely not something that is grown. Honeys and jams and all those, I actually have seen those around. I've not been asked to get into those yet, which is great. I'll stay in my lane. But there are honeys and jams in our tasting room for sure.
Coming to Kiviria, I mean, you had the connection to Steve, but was there anything else that you were drawn to in particular? Were there varieties that you had not been able to make before?
Not really. I think that what is grown there is grown really well, and the expectation of reining in and focusing, it goes without saying these are challenging times, right? We're in we've got some headwinds as I hear all the time. And so for us to really say, okay, let's rein this back in from, you know, intention of distribution and really getting out there. Let's focus on our direct consumer business. Let's focus on the estate, bring it back in. That was really refreshing to hear at the time. Definitely something I'm excited about. Mm-hmm. And there is some replant work. It's not a young estate. There's a lot of Sauvignon Blanc vineyards that really I'm excited to work with Steve on. How can we replant this? What can we do? How can we then improve the environmental impact of these blocks, whether they're really close to the creeks and close to the river? What can we plant that's beneficial around them? So there's just a lot on our plates as we head forward, and it has to do with focusing. Yeah. And I think that's so refreshing right now, as opposed to shooting for that big growth or expansion or all that sort of thing.
Right. So that's or just trying everything and hoping something works.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
It's like good to have a plan.
Without a doubt.
Just do everything better and take your time and
and make sure that the people that come visit are a part of it too. So we're really proud now to not only have the gardens and the vineyards, that whole experience, but really now come back into the cellar, see it. We're doing a lot of hands-on processes, fermenting our Zinfandel and Petite Syrah in the puncheons that we're going to age in long-term. So we pop the heads off, we put the grapes literally inside, punch down with our own hands, and that's very interactive. And people that come visit really have a great connection to what we're doing, which is great.
Well, I think people should come visit. The best way to, are reservations required? Are you open every day?
We accept walk-ins, and we are happy to have people between, I believe, 11 and 4:30, and we're more than happy to have people come by.
Okay, so I've got Thursday through Monday, but I mean, maybe other days too. And there's a golf cart experience in the vineyards, perhaps.
Yeah. If Steve gets his hands on the keys to the golf cart, you're destined to have a vineyard
really
tour,
time.
Cruise by the fig tree, cruise around the old Zin blocks. Yeah.
That you'll never forget.
Absolutely.
He's an
amazing storyteller, and you'll learn everything about the Dry Creek Valley and organic farming. That is for sure.
Well, I think that is testament enough to go visit and find out more at keyverawine.com. Thank you so much for coming on. Nice to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Stuff, and we are going to talk about our Tuesday night wine picks.
And we made Aaron stay
with our guest.
I know,
Aaron.
Well, because I was going to ask him what would go with the Swedish fish that he brought. So, don't know what that is, but maybe sparkling.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time imagining something that doesn't go well with
Swedish
fish.
Oh, there we go.
Fish.
Okay,
yeah,
they pair well with everything. You heard it from an expert here.
Exactly.
Yeah. A lot of experience.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I just noticed that the box on Swedish fish, like the fish are lying on towels. I've never noticed that before. They're sunbathing.
They're at the beach.
Okay.
So there's that.
There's that. Okay. And then we've got Winston, who I guess loves to come and drink water.
Winston is our smart little pig. Yeah.
And, that's so fun. He runs out and greets you in the morning.
Yeah. Whoever opens the gate first in the back to pull in the back of the winery, he's quick to run over and beg for a little, either a snout scratch or a little spray of the hose so he can drink some water. And then, of course, he likes being hosed down when it's at all warm out. So,
yeah. Oh,
sounds like he's going to have a very nice life.
Yeah.
At Kivera.
Yeah, spoiled is an understatement.
Do you think will he ride in the golf cart?
Whew, you know what? I think he's actually probably now, if there's a sign on it that says maximum weight or something, I'm pretty sure he's starting
he's
to exceed
more than
that.
The weight.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He'd
have
to learn how to drive it so no one else would be with him.
But wouldn't that be something?
That would be
unique.
There might have to be a video
experience.
Coming soon.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, we need that. Yep. We need to see that
okay,
for sure.
Okay, well, just visit in case that happens.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Don't miss it.
All right, so Tuesday Night Wines, we're here for it.
Well, I'm thankful because Aaron actually brought me a Tuesday night wine. So I have the Kivera Grenache. So this is from Wine Creek Ranch, and it's the 22. So it's current vintage, I assume.
That's correct.
Awesome. I love Grenache. So, and it has his predecessor Ruby's photo on it. So Winston's, not Aaron's, Winston's predecessor. As that came out,
exactly.
I was like, wait a minute.
I need to clarify.
The pig, Ruby the pig, yep. Boar is on this.
Well, when people throw around the term rock star, which I kind of sometimes cringe at when it's a winemaker, it gets thrown all the time. No, the rock star of our estate is a pig, and it is Winston. Yep.
Love it.
I love it, too. Okay, well, I'm going to go with the Fig Tree Vineyard Sauvignon Blanc because it is a Sauvignon Blanc that I've loved for a long time.
Yes.
So why not have it again?
I love it.
And often. So, Aaron, what are you going to
drink? What are you doing?
So I usually have a bottle of bubbly in the fridge and a white on deck, but
like
we've actually got some steaks that we got this a couple nights ago. So I'm going to have the Black Boar, our 2021 Black Boar Zinfandel, which usually is about 75% of the minimum Zin it can be and the maximum Petite Syrah it can be. We kind of leverage that heavyweight Petite Syrah, and it's just a delightful, big, good steak wine. So that's what's on deck for me.
Well, now I feel like we're waiting for an invite to have steaks.
Do we need to wait?
I don't know.
I think we will bring Swedish fish. And
yeah, there we go.
Just give us the address.
Yes,
not on air.
But not on air, yes. We don't want to, you know. Exactly. It's been a fun show.
It's been a great show. So many things. Okay. So people should go and visit Kivera, kiverawine.com. I'll spell it for you because maybe it wouldn't be obvious. Kuivira wine.com. Thursday through Monday, 11 to 4 or somewhere thereabouts.
Yep.
And if you sort of Google search us or, you know, do your little ChatGPT search, just type in CCOF Organic and Sonoma County, and we'll pop up.
I love that, too.
Okay.
There you go. All the things.
Well, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.